is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 449. I am Lisa Sheps. I am flying solo today. We're missing Nick Squared, and we're also missing our apprentice, Susie Shelor. So you just stuck with me by myself. You're listening to me on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. And we stream this live, as we always do, on koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry and step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
If you want to get...
It is Wednesday, January 23rd, 2018. I hope that date is right. I didn't write it. It's 24th. It's January 24th. On the show today, we have the Generic Ensemble Company and the Vortex and their production of 1893 Yakuza. And also the City Theater Company and their production of Uncle Vanya. And of course, we'll have lively discussion about the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, Paris, and Amsterdam. Do not go away.
So let's go and make some news, boys. Let's check around the fields, boys. Hell, it don't matter if...
Okay, here we are. You know, I just faded the thing, and I did not have my microphone up. So this is Lisa Sheps. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air, and I am flying solo all by myself today. So I'm going to start off, instead of... checking in with Nick Squared, I'm going to go immediately and introduce the people here in the theater with me. And I'm going to start here with Dario Maieko Marinelli. Did I get that right?
It was so close, yes.
So close, Maieko.
Dario Maieko Marinelli.
Maieko, yes. Not you, Echo.
You know.
Maieko Marinelli. We have Mia King.
Yes, hello.
And right into that microphone. And KT Shorb. Hi, welcome back, KT.
Hello.
And then we also have Matt. Hold on, don't tell me. Let me guess. Matt Flynn.
Hi there.
And Julia Salas.
Hello.
Welcome to Offstage and On the Air. And so I saw a look from the Vortex folks when I pronounced the name of the show. Did I mispronounce it? 893 Yakuza.
So close again. So 893 Yakuza.
Oh, so 893, yeah, not 893. So close. So you know, I read it. Nobody's ever said it to me out loud. What, you know? So sue me. So the song that you guys heard when we started was from, it's called Hollywood Amy from Scandalous. Does anybody remember Scandalous on Broadway? Anybody? No. So KT, I'm going to get, because we do this live and there is no engineer or anything, I give direction on the air, so just be careful. And I will tell KT right now that nods and shaking of the head does not work on radio.
Oh, really?
It does not. So that's, anyway. So it's called Scandalous, The Life and Trials of Amy Semple McPherson, who was an evangelical evangelist and pop culture icon. And it's Amy, A-I-M-E-E. I knew somebody in my childhood that had that name spelled that way, but they pronounced it M-A.
Oh.
I think it was pretty cool.
Is that like a French thing?
I have a really good friend who pronounces it I-may.
I-may?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have any special Amy? No. Anyway.
It sounds French.
It does, doesn't it? It is French. So this is the Scandalous Life and Trials of Amy Semple McPherson was a relative flop on Broadway in the 2013 season, I think, 2012 Broadway season, written by one Kathy Lee Gifford, amongst other people, starring
You got it.
Having trouble. Carmel, help me.
Carmel.
I can't say that. I'm having trouble saying it. Anyway. Carolee Carmello, who many people know her from, she starred in Parade. I think that was one of the things that she was known, which we did at Ground Floor Theater a few years back, which we just loved. But anyway, that's what that was from. I always try to do my interstitial music with some kind of theme. And this morning when I was putting the show together, I was a little... ambiguous, and I didn't really care a lot, so I did my search on the word whatever. And the song came up from the show, and I started to do it. I forgot what it's called, but it was very, it was a little on the Jesus-y side. So I opted for a different song from the same show. So there you go. We did have one opening that happened. This is a really sort of dead time on Broadway, as people may or may not know. But there is a review for an off-Broadway show from the at the Harmon Center for the Arts that Ben Brantley put up on the New York Times with Michael Urie doing a production of Hamlet. Y'all know who Michael Urie is? Yeah. No? We got any shaking heads? Anybody?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, so he best known probably to television audiences from Ugly Betty, but he's a comic actor. He was in, oh God, the Barbara Streisand one-person play.
Buyer and Seller,
amongst other things. You'll find that I forget everything. Do you know Byron Seller?
Yes, I do.
What was
I saw
here?
That Zach Theater when J. Robert Moore did it.
Yeah. J. Robert Moore, who's now the artistic director over at Zilker.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. We know everything. So one of the things that in reading this review, I was not sure whether he liked it or not. He kept saying complimentary things and less complimentary things. Turns out he didn't like it. This was a production of Hamlet done by the Shakespeare Theater Company, and Michael Urie played Hamlet not so much as mad, but madcap. He says eccentrically extravagant gestures that Auntie Mame would have appreciated.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Wow.
But still, I wasn't sure whether he liked it or not, because then he started to say how great Michael Urie is and what a comedic actor he is. But they also called this production, which was directed by Michael Kahn, and I'm not so sure, aggressively contemporary.
Huh. What does that mean?
Well, yeah, get right up on that microphone and ask that again. I don't know. I was going to ask you guys. Do you have an idea of what aggressively contemporary might mean?
I think it means that it had stuff that was strong that the person didn't like.
Yeah. I don't know. I circled it and I put a big question mark. But if I were to go in context, it says it suggests... quote, a fascist state, custom styled, branded by a haute fashion house, this Hamlet is always scoring points off the dimmer minds that surround him. So I guess the fascist state, custom style, and branded haute fashion house would be the... It's also done in a very contemporary thing. They use iPhones. There's lots of iPhones, lots of electronics going on. Many, many screens happening in this Hamlet, which seems kind of weird to me.
So kids will like it.
Kids will like it. Hamlet and Ophelia text one another in this production.
Well, I mean, that just means contemporary. That's just, we live in times that are aggressive.
That's true. So he's being redundant.
He is.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That is absolutely true. That's great.
Well, I mean, I also think the question is, if it's contemporary and it works, then Ben is going to just be like, oh, great. It's contemporary. Lovely. And I wonder if aggressive is... A thing is aggressive when it's too much or when it's out of place.
It's his way of saying too much.
So maybe too much without a, you know, justification or reason.
So they did something interesting because Michael Urie is a star and Shakespeare, Hamlet doesn't show up until scene two with the soliloquy of the, I forgot the two solid flesh soliloquy. They started the production with that. So in a preamble to the show, Michael Urie came out and did it. And the idea is, let's get the star turn over with. Because one of the things that really bugs me, and since few of you have been on the show before, I'm not crazy about entrance applause. What do you got? In a play, in a musical, like when Bette Midler comes on for Hello, Dolly, or when, oh my God, what's her name? Who does Hello, Carol Channing comes on for Hello, Dolly. Entrance applause, that makes sense. It's a musical, it's lighthearted. But if you're doing Pinter and James Earl Jones walks out, I don't want to hear applause.
Right. Yeah,
I agree.
I think that's silly.
Yeah, and yet it happens. So, I don't know. Let's see. He did not like the supporting cast at all. Ophelia was played by Oyin Olaha. Oh, I even practiced this name, Oladejo, which actually, now that I say it, doesn't seem so hard, and other people. But he said, the rest of the cast turns in a nigh-invisible performances. Ooh. Yeah, poor things.
That's I guess there's a ghost in Hamlet, but it's only one character.
So not aggressive.
Not aggressive enough.
So it's playing through March 4th for those of you in New York at the Sidney Harmon Hall in Washington, D.C. Sorry, it's in Washington, not in New York. So there you go. That's that. Let's see what's else on my list of things to talk about. Are y'all familiar with Allison Orr here in Austin, Texas?
Oh, yeah. She just got a thing.
And she performs with things, too. Big things.
Big things, yes.
And, of course, my thing...
Is it U.S. artist that she
It's
got?
A grant. I believe it's a $30,000 unrestricted grant, which those of us in the nonprofit world just salivate over unrestricted grants. But she won amongst... did I say 30,000? I meant 50,000. Yeah, wow. You were right.
Great.
She does Forklift Dance Works, and she does some incredible stuff. Has anybody seen her?
Yes.
Yeah. KT has.
Trash Dance.
Matt has. You saw the trash... The first big one she did was... Actually, no, the first one was Forklifts, because that's what gave her the name of the company.
And also, I saw Power Up... I wanted to see the baseball one, but I didn't get to see the baseball one.
Yeah, she is. She deserves it, and it's the United States Artists, based out of Chicago, that gave it to her. So I think that is awesome. She's the only fellow from Texas that won this award, right here in Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Go!
Way to go.
Kudos to Allison Orr.
Yeah. Also, she has been in Dwell Magazine, which is funny.
Why is that funny?
Well, because then...
Isn't Dwell an architecture?
Yeah, she's been in Dwell, but then it was in this Tumblr site called something like White People in Their Natural... Something making fun of like white people in their nice homes. Uh-huh. So that comes from Dwell Magazine, that you get like an alternate caption. So she liked that she was in, of course, Dwell, but also in the other thing.
Yeah. Well, I just love her. She's been on the show. She actually, her and Peter Bay came on the show together once, and it was really great.
I also saw that one.
Yeah.
The one with Peter where he conducts.
Yeah, I saw that
Graham
one too.
Graham Reynolds wrote the music.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So another just unfortunate article. There's so many unfortunate things going on in the arts world, but this one just sort of really makes me angry. London, Ontario, the headline reads, London, Ontario School Board pulls funding for a musical about a gay student fighting to take his date to the prom. This was a show called Prom Queen the Musical, which is a musical that was written by Canadian people. And I'm trying to find the people who wrote it. I can't believe, but it was a high school production for the Grand Theater in London, Ontario. And the artistic director for that project is Dennis Garnham. And the two school districts usually give, I think it's $30,000, $15,000 each to this every year. And they pulled it because it is the story of a true story, by the way, also happened in Canada, in Ontario, of a young man who wanted to bring his boyfriend to prom, and the school board wouldn't let him, and he fought it and won and was able to bring his boyfriend to the prom.
Wow.
So they said, school board, first of all, does that make anybody else mad?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Give them their space. I mean, come on.
Yeah, serious? Well, it's so homophobic. And yet that's not what they say. They didn't say that it was because of the content, per se. They said it's because it portrays school boards, teachers, and other adults in a negative light. Which actually kind of makes me more mad, because because now they're just saying, we don't want you to portray us in a negative light.
But yeah, I mean, they don't want the truth. That is kind of a definition of censorship.
Yes. Right?
Yeah.
Right? So, of course, the joke's on them. Producers did a GoFundMe campaign. They've already gotten the $30,000, and they're just continuing to get more. It launched last Wednesday, a week ago today, at 7 p.m., and this article was written... I don't have a date on it, but it was a few days. So in a matter of days, they raised the money that the school boards took away. But that's... Oh, and the other thing that the bad stuff that the that it portrays in the play is taken verbatim from the records from the school board. So they're actually not only censoring an artistic piece, but they're censoring the actual words that were said mm-hmm. in real life.
Well, maybe they're just trying to create material for the sequel. So you have your original about the person who can't go to the prom, and now we have a sequel about the musical based on that being censored.
Daria, you're always so positive.
Just doing what
the
I
cup is half full with you. I love that.
And where was this going on? Where did you say?
This is London, Ontario, okay. Canada, Canada.
There is a Broadway workshop in the works right now. It's for a show called The Prom. I'm not sure if it's a musical
right.
or a play, but is it based
I
on
believe
the same
it's
story?
It might be the actual same thing. It may be, but I know that that's...
Yeah, that's a thing mm-hmm. that's in the works right now.
Yep. So it was a big hit in Montreal. It went to the New York Theater Musical Theater Festival. So shame on these school boards in Canada. Our liberal neighbor to the north, by the way. Shame on them. Here's what I'm going to do. That's how I feel about this. It just angers me.
She ripped up the paper.
It was very, very principled ripping of paper.
It was. I wish I knew. Oh, darn it. Something is actually happening today, and I meant to write it in. I read an article this morning, something that's happening tonight, and I didn't write it down, so I don't remember what it was. But know that something in New York is happening tonight.
Ooh.
Wow.
But we don't know what
something.
That is.
We don't know what it is.
Awesome.
So amidst all of the Me Too things that are happening and all the people that are being caught up in this rightfully vocal issue around sexual misconduct on the matter of people, something came in the news today about Grandma the Clown from Big Apple Circus. He just resigned from the Big Apple Circus in the midst of an accusation that he did not deny. Actually, he said it was absolutely true. So he resigned after a zillion years of working at this. A woman named Zoe Dunn. It's I'm not going to go into the details of what he did, but it's really nasty. Mm-hmm. She was made to feel small and helpless and made to feel that if she did not do what he suggested, as a matter of fact, she tried to say no, and he had a lot of power. She had none. Same story that you're hearing over and over and over again and hear it again. And, you know, I don't know. It's everywhere. It's in the circus. It's in the theater. It's in the small mom and pop stores. It's just everywhere. And it's good that it's coming out, but it's breaking my heart that all of this happened and continues to happen, and it shouldn't. This man, she brought it up. She finally brought it up to the people that ran Big Apple Circus in 2012. And you might remember there's a big shakeup in the Big Apple Circus. It closed down and came back. So at that time, he had already left the circus, so they couldn't do anything about it. They hired him back. I was really mad when I heard that, and I saw everybody's face sort of made this thing. But none of the people that were there in the initial complaint were still with Big Apple Circus, and they never told the new people. So it's really not the new people's fault. As soon as they heard the accusations, they sent him out. But it's his name, for those interested, is Barry Lubin. He's 65. He played Grandma, the clown. And there you go. This will all be linked on offstageonair.com, and you can see it. So on happier notes... who's ever heard of Hugh Jackman? Anybody?
He's that guy.
He is that guy.
I think he's very handsome.
He is very handsome, amongst other things, and a little talented. Did anybody see The Greatest Showman?
Yes.
Wasn't that amazing?
It was. It really was.
It was amazing. And I should know her name, but the woman that played the bearded lady that sang the signature.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah, she's a treasure.
Awesome. So if you haven't seen it, I would recommend seeing it.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
I second that, definitely.
Yeah. So
it's definitely a show for people who perform. I think that there were moments in there where you would recognize it if you're a performer, like where it slows down and where you see the lights. And that's what it feels like to mm-hmm. be on stage. And that movie really captured that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Anyway, so Michael Riedel in his article said, I'll read the first few lines. He says, I found the next Hugh Jackman, and he is Jonathan Groff.
What?
So he's just saying there's a lot of parallels between Jonathan Groff and Hugh Jackman, specifically around the show he's doing right now called The Bobby Darin Story at the 92nd Street Y. Sorry, that just got me all choked up. He's evidently just killing it in this Bobby Darin story. They think, and the equivalence is Hugh Jackman got known doing The Boy from Oz. Mm-hmm. So same kind of thing. And Jonathan Groff is doing Bobby Darin in the Bobby Darin story. And Jonathan Groff, people know he made his fame probably from Spring Awakening, was his big thing. He also did the role that would be so fun to do in Hamilton, which is King George III. The only white Caucasian actor in the show is played by, is the character of King George. And it's a fun song, which goes throughout. Has anybody here seen Hamilton? Anybody? Can I kill anybody?
No.
No, nobody. Okay, good. It is coming here to Austin, 2019, so get your tickets now. Let's see. So that was that. So he sings song. Oh, Mack the Knife. Bobby Darin, I didn't realize. So he was doing really, really well. He was in with people like Frank Sinatra and others. And I did not know that he had a downfall in his career before he passed away, and it's because he denounced the Vietnam War, and Sinatra and that gang were not in on the, or were not up on the old war protesting at the time. Yeah, I didn't know.
Wow.
And Bing Crosby was the other person they turned against him. Anyway, he died in 1973. For extra credit, how old was Bobby Darin when he died?
57.
57. Anybody? Anybody else?
56.
63, 56. 56 no, thank you for playing. It was 37.
Wow.
You got half of it right.
Okay.
You got half of it right. Oh, good. We're doing good with time. Let's see. I think there was something else I wanted to talk about. Let me look at my notes. And Tony's host. More than likely, it's going to be James Corden again.
That'll be fun.
That makes sense.
James Corden did it. So who remembers the person that did it? Last time. It was, why did I just lose his name? Which I should.
Was it
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah, it was
yes,
Kevin
thank
Spacey,
you.
Right.
The we can't speak about Kevin Spacey anymore. Spacey, that Spacey. So James Corden evidently hasn't assaulted any women, and so he can do it.
That's the only standard
or
now.
Young boys.
Or young boys, exactly.
Yeah.
That's right. Sorry, I went the wrong way with Spacey. But they talked about people that will more than likely be presenting or performing at the Tonys. Tina Fey, of course, will be there. She might even win something for Mean Girls, which is scheduled to start in May, I think. And then somebody named Bruce Springsteen is likely to perform.
Wow.
I can hear, right now, I can hear Nicole Shiro screaming at the radio because she just does not think Bruce Springsteen deserves to call himself a Broadway show. Other
Boss.
People, Denzel Washington for The Iceman Cometh will be on the show. Amy Schumer, Laurie Metcalf, Glenda Jackson, Nathan Lane, other people. There's probably a good chance that Jimmy Buffett will be there to sing something from Margaritaville, which is set to open soon as well. So that's that. Boy, time just flies. Last thing I really want to talk about at this point is in our neck of the woods, Theater Under the Stars is celebrating their 50th anniversary.
That's great.
That? And I did not realize, anybody else from Houston?
No.
Nobody else is from Houston. So I grew up in Houston. I was doing theater in the 60s and 70s in Houston. And I did not realize, I thought Theater Under the Stars was older than it is, but it was formed in 1968 by Frank Young, who was a pre-med student and worked part-time at the Houston Grand Opera. We were talking about opera before the show. And he saw that the Miller Outdoor Theater was just being completed, and he thought it'd be a good idea to do an outdoor musical. And they brought in, for the very first time, their very first show, which I think was Bells Are Ringing, 4,500 people.
Wow.
Wow.
It turned into, so when I grew up in Houston in the 70s, 60s and 70s, Tuts was really just the summer shows. Now they perform, they have a full season. They perform at the big, oh my God, what's the name of the theater in Houston that they perform at?
The Alley? No.
No, it's not at the Alley. Anyway, the big one of the big theaters, one of the big old theaters, but they just announced their 50th season, which is Oklahoma, The Wiz, Beauty and the Beast, Mamma Mia, and Ragtime. Cool. Dun, 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 dun.
It's a good lineup.
Good lineup. Not terribly, with the exception of Ragtime. Well, with the exception of Ragtime, it's not terribly, they're not taking any chances here. Right? Yeah.
There are many people who will see those shows.
there are. All right, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to... hold on, who are we going to talk to? The Vortex and the Generic Ensemble Company about 890. I know that's not right. 893 Yakuza. This is 890, and I knew that was wrong. Oh my God. I suck. Okay, so let's see what we're going to be playing as we go out here. We are going to play a little Jonathan Groff. This is from Spring Awakening. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa Sheps. Sans my lovely co-host, Nicole Shiro and Nick Mayo. Nicole Shiro is a little under the weather, and so we're wishing her the best. Nick Mayo happens to be in New York City. He may also be under the weather, but if he's under the weather, he's under the weather in the Big Apple. We're also missing our apprentice, Susie Sheeler, who is also not feeling well. That bug is going around. Anybody else getting that bug?
Don't say it.
No, I'm not going to. Just don't do it. You have the power to stop it. That's all I have to say.
I have a show opening tomorrow.
Yeah.
The day after tomorrow.
Well, that's good. So let me reintroduce everybody here. This is from the Generic Ensemble Company in Vortex, 893 Yakuza, by Daria Mieko Marinelli.
Amazing,
who is here in the house with us. KT Shorb is in the show and is also co-directing.
Yes, indeed.
Welcome.
Thank you.
And Mia King is also in the show.
Yes, got it.
And then here, I'm going to do it another time. Daria Mieko Marinelli is the playwright of this show. So before we go anywhere, I gave Daria the job of choosing a number between 1 or 2 and 50. What did you choose?
I picked 47.
47. Well, let's just see what that is.
Hi, this is Austin Gay playwright Alan Baker, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps on KOOP Hornsby, Austin 91.7 FM.
Beautiful. Thank you, Alan. Alan Baker, yay! And I believe that's the first time, well, we've played Alan a couple times on here, but it's the first time I remembered that I did a little whispering action at the end and didn't cut that off. So y'all are here to talk about 893 Yakuza. Somebody tell me what this show is about. Daria, I think maybe it should be you since you wrote it.
Great.
Love the title.
Thank you.
Read the blurb, so Tell the folks what it's about.
Sure. 893 Yakuza is about one woman's bid to become the first female member in the Japanese mafia. I usually write big plays that are immersive, installation, and this is a nice play that takes place in a theater. There's a table, there's two people, Aya walks in, she puts a knife under the table, and then the play begins.
Ooh, so, does the audience see the knife coming under the table?
They do.
We are not giving anything away since it's the first thing that happens.
It's the first thing that happens.
It's the first thing.
You are ruining the first moment, though. Wow. So
no. The rest of it we'll have to hang out for.
Well, that's cool. So it poses two questions for you to me is, first of all, is there a big... calling for people that want to join the Japanese mafia, A, and two, why this story, why now?
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to answer them sort of together.
Okay.
For me,
that's why I asked them together.
I'm so glad. For me, this is less a play about the Japanese mafia per se, but really looking at where are we, what are the opportunities available to us, whoever we may be, and then what does it mean to go to the place that we haven't been? So for Aya, who's a young Japanese woman, you know, she's steeped in Japanese culture, but she's looking at the Yakuza and she's like, there are no women in there, and I want to be the first female member. So it's, for me, it's about really crossing boundaries, being the first, making waves, trying to shake things up a little bit.
Is the story about female empowerment? Is that the message that we're going for, or is the message a little bit less? Heady isn't the right word, but is there a morality based message here, or is it really just let's tell this story?
For me, and you guys can chip in as well. For me, it's about having big dreams and going for it. It's about wanting to make waves. About saying, what do I want to do? What is the thing I know I can do, and how can I do it? And how can I be? How can I sort of break a boundary? How can I do something new?
Mia, clearly you're playing that role. We should say this: it's a two-character play, right?
Yes,
it is.
Okay, so we have the entire cast here. I forgot. I did not mention that KT is also in it, right?
You did mention that.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
Why am I not hearing you? Say that again.
Hello.
Because we moved the microphones around, yes. and I turned down the wrong one.
I didn't mention that. Show.
Okay, good. Thank God.
Yes.
Oftentimes I don't do the right thing. So what's your take on it? How do you feel about it?
So my take on it is that I'm shattering these stereotypes. I'm going to an organization that has a very, very long history of being about being a Japanese man. I watched a documentary about the Yakuza, and one of the members said a lot of the point of the Yakuza is to learn how to be a Japanese man, and the fact that masculinity is so integrated into this organization makes it even bigger of a challenge for my character to have to deal with as she goes through the people that she needs to go through. She says all the things that she needs to say. She sometimes kills all the people she needs to.
You have to do that.
Sometimes you do. And she just has so many more challenges because the fact that she is a woman, and it's about breaking those barriers and seeing how far she can get.
And KT, who are you playing in this piece?
I am playing a leader of a syndicate organization who is interviewing Mia's character to see whether she is even able to be the first woman in the syndicate.
So did the Yakuza like post this on Indeed and she answered the ad? It just seems interesting. You said you're interviewing, right? So I saw like this, it's in a LinkedIn posting somewhere.
Yeah,
looking for new mafioso members.
I'm the head of the HR. I mean, it often is in, I'm trying to figure out how much information is useful, but usually people are recruited into the Yakuza because they have been doing petty crimes in Japan already, and then they just kind of get recruited because it's like, hey, if you're going to be doing that anyway, you might as well do it for us and make more money. So this is different because usually women and girls are not a part of that recruitment process.
No.
So, but Mia's character makes it very clear through many means before the play happens that this is what she wants.
I feel like there's that line of, you have to be so good they can't ignore you. And it's sort of in this, Aya has killed so many people that they can't ignore her. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. I'm so proud of you that you have killed a bunch of people. You guys are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
We are.
Yes. Okay, do you want to set this up at all?
This is towards the very beginning of the show. Mm-hmm. My character, whose name is Won, I mean, you actually don't know the character's name, has just set up what's going to happen over the course of this lunch, and we're having a conversation.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is KT Shorb and Mia King doing a scene from Generic Ensemble and Vortex Reps, production of 893 Yakuza.
Well, what do you see?
Promise, ambition, a younger version of myself.
And?
Patience, Aya, patience. Let us get to know each other. If in 50 minutes, 48 now, we are still enjoying each other's company, perhaps you come in this limo with me, if we are both still alive. I compliment you on your choice of place. The sashimi here is very fresh.
You've been here?
Beyond that, they are very accommodating. You know, they say, Aya,
The best way to make a person make a decision is to convince everyone around them to make that decision.
Maybe that's what I'm doing.
I said convince, not kill. Scene.
Oh, my God. Yikes, you caught me unawares. Excellent, excellent. So does this play, does the play actually take place of 50 minutes? Is it a 50-minute play?
It's like, yeah. We've been coming in about 54-ish. Yeah.
54.
You know, 4 minutes to hide the knife very yeah. thoroughly.
Yes. So so we know as an audience, or we know now know, and then the audience learns very quickly that you bring a knife in.
Yes.
I forgot the character's name.
Aya.
I should know that because it's like Aya Stark. Totally went to Aya Stark because she would also have a knife under the table.
Yeah, it's handy.
Does your character have a weapon hiding, or do we just have to see the show to find out?
Well, I do have wits.
Okay.
One is so good that anything in the room is a weapon.
It's true.
Yes. Excellent. So can I make the assumption that we don't necessarily want to bring our young children here to the show?
There is violence.
Okay, so PG-13.
Yeah.
PG-14?
It's not like R or anything.
It's not like what?
It's not like rated R or anything.
Okay. Cool.
There is violence. There's a lot of violence.
Yeah, so the typical Vortex audience would be at home here at this piece.
Right, there's no nudity and there's no cussing.
Oh, really? Cool. Yeah. Does it take place in Japan, or is the location inconsequential to the piece?
It takes place in a Japanese restaurant in the United States.
Okay, cool. You guys are going to open this weekend, yes?
Yeah, Friday.
Yes. Friday night. You excited?
I'm really excited. So my body hurts, but I'm really excited.
That means you're working hard, KT.
I'm working super hard,
It's good. You want your body to hurt. Where can folks go to get... Oh, and how long do y'all play? When do you close?
We close on February 10th, and information is available at vortexrep.org.
And also at genenco.org as well. Well, we really appreciate you coming in. Hopefully all or some of you can stick around and join us backstage. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was KT Shorb, Daria Mieko Marinelli, and Mia King with Generic Ensemble Company and the Vortex Reps, production of 893 Yakuza. It plays January 26th through February 10th at the Vortex. For more information, vortexrep.org or genenco.org, and that's genenco.org. We'll be right back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. We are missing our co-hosts here today because they are not well, or they are in New York City. New York City! They're gone. So that was a wonderful interview. I really enjoyed talking to them. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to have them backstage, but that makes me sad. But chances are I will survive the issue. So let's talk about what's going on here locally for just a little second. Last week, we did not have time to go through our local section, so this time we can. And we are here still joined here with us, and I will reintroduce them. We have Matt Flynn. Hi.
Hello.
You know what? I am going to turn your microphone on just for the heck of it.
Hello.
There he is. And Julia Salas.
Hello.
Excellent. Locally speaking, other than the shows that we're already talking about, I did want to mention the Institution Theater is once again, and this time I believe it's actually happening, they have to close their main stage, so they're losing we're losing yet another theater space here in Austin, Texas. So they have a lot of productions going on every weekend, so check them out. I also want to say, and it is the last weekend to see it, the Tilt Performance Group, who we talk about on this show. Have either of you ever seen anything by Tilt Performance Group? Are you aware of them?
No.
Tilt Performance Group is a group of differently abled actors, and they do incredible work. And they are in their second week of a 2-week run. And unfortunately, I can't see it. It breaks my heart. But it's called The Giver. And they just do some amazing, amazing work there. So you can get information at tiltperformance.org. And that's that. And then finally, I wanted to talk about Frontera Fest again because it is going on for 5 weeks, and we're now in our, I believe, second week. Do either of you, are either of you doing anything on Frontera? I guess you can't.
I am not. No. Yeah. Neither of us, I guess.
Well, you could on the final week. Just saying. Well, too late now. But you could have. Frontera Fest, for those that you don't know it, they were guests on the show last week, but this is the short fringe. These are 10-minute or under plays. I believe they have six a night, different shows every night. They are paneled, and the best of each week does a Saturday night show of six performances. And I just love Frontera Fest. Have either of you seen Short Fringe?
No.
No, okay. Well, your homework...
I've heard of it.
Your homework is to go see it, because it's really wonderful, and as they say, that if you don't like what you're seeing, just wait a little while. Mm-hmm. They're 10-minute. It's a great opportunity for Austin playwrights and small companies to sort of hone their craft in a short period of time and for to get things in front of an audience. So you can get information there at hydeparktheater.org. And now it's time for Today in Theater History. Y'all ready to learn a little bit?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, here we go. 1905, it was the opening night of Buster Brown. Do you remember Buster Brown's shoes?
Yes, I do. I had a pair.
Did you? I think we all did. I'm guessing that you don't remember Buster Brown's shoes. Ooh. I don't think they exist anymore. Do they?
No, I don't think so. It was Buster Brown and his dog's
and his
name.
And his dog. I don't remember. Uh-huh. Do you?
No,
don't. Well, we'll Google it. So it was the opening night of Buster Brown, and this is based on the comic strip Buster Brown about a kid and his dog. I forgot that there was a comic book, but it ran for 95 performances. In 1933, it's the premiere of Noel Coward's Design for Living, and it had a couple of co-stars in it that seem relatively familiar to me. Someone named Alfred Lunt and Lynn Fontaine. So Lunt and Fontaine did that. So... that played 135 performances at the Ethel Barrymore Theater. And this is Cheetah Rivera reunited with Dick Van Dyke, and they start together in Bye Bye Birdie, which I think we're due for a revival of Bye Bye Birdie, aren't we?
It's been a while.
Yeah, I think we're due for that. But they did four special performances of a show called Cheetah Rivera, The Dancer's Life.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. So... one more. 2010, Liv Schreiber and Scarlett Johansson star in A View from the Bridge. That's it. That's the end of that story. So that, of course, is Arthur Miller and about a Brooklyn longshoreman, if I couldn't remember that. So birthdays are Vicky Baum, who was born in 1988. I remember that was like a year after I was born.
Shout out to 1988.
I'm sorry, 1888. Oh. Were you born in 1988?
I was not born in 1888.
1988.
I was born in 1988.
Well, I have a friend's daughter was born, 8888.
Oh.
I'll never forget that day. well, happy birthday.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
Let's see. Maria Tallchief. I don't know who that is. She was born in 1925, and Carrie Coon was born in 1981. There's an 81 for you. So that's that. We will take a little break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk to City Theater's folks about Uncle Vanya. And we are going to go out listening to a little bit of Cheetah Rivera. We'll be right back.
Small.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps. We just got finished speaking to KT Shorb, Daria Mieko Marinelli, and Mia King. And we're now going to switch gears, and we're going to talk to Matt Flynn. Hi, Matt.
Hi.
And Julia Salas.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
Hi.
Did you get those headphones to work?
I think so.
So I made her switch microphones, everybody, so that we could look at one another like straight forward instead of on the side.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to get side eye in the afternoon, do you? So you guys are part of City Theater's Uncle Vanya by a little-known playwright, Anton Chekhov.
Yes.
So for those that don't know, I've never seen Uncle Vanya.
Mm-hmm.
What's it about?
It's about, may I?
Go for it.
It's about people fighting against the gravity of their lives and trying to break out of the mold of their depression and of their self-sorrow.
That's okay,
great.
You've just described my life. Thanks a lot. Yeah, so Chekhov is not known for like light fare, as you're usually thinking once you leave the theater with this, right?
But you know, it's a comedy.
And it's got a lot of humor in it.
And you've heard before, well, there's comedic elements. I think it's a comedy with dramatic elements.
Okay.
You know, that's an interesting perspective. There's a lot of very dry sarcasm in the play that I think can be missed if you're not very astute to it while you're watching it. But it is, I would describe it the same way. It is a dark comedy.
So this is a familial story, right? It's about a family.
Yes.
It is.
So
19th century Russia.
Don't I remember that?
Right.
This is big time. So what do you play, Julia?
I play the plain and ugly, sorrowful Sonia. Like, just the dreary daughter of Sarah Bryakov, which is Matt Flynn's character. She is kind of the most well-rounded character.
Yes.
And
Of course you'd say that. It's your character.
Well, yeah.
What do you mean by well-rounded?
She has her head on her shoulders, I think, the best, I would say, out of all the characters. If you see the show, or when you see the show, hopefully, you'll be able to kind of analyze each character's sense of being and where they are in their life. And Sonia is kind of this one that they all look to, that all the characters look to. She's this kind of common ground that everybody looks to for guidance and for maturity and for inspiration. And so, you know, kind of in Act Three, she has a little bit of a hard time.
That's how people describe me.
Yeah.
People come in for me for inspiration.
That's who I got my inspiration from.
Exactly.
From my character. You.
And Matt, what is your character?
It's Professor Sarah Bryakov, and he's in a sense the antagonist that comes in and disrupts their lives. But in that sense, he's kind of shaken things up, and he's stirred a lot of people to action.
Okay. And so if I were to say, so whenever there are plays, this is the day that something happened, and that's why it's on stage. So what happened here that within Uncle Vanya, and plus, what's the significance of the title Uncle Vanya? Is there an Uncle Vanya?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So actually, another one of the castmates and I were discussing this about the interesting title of Uncle Vanya. It's not Vanya.
Right.
So it kind of has this nice kind of
reference to Sonia.
Yeah, it is. It is without trying to make it about myself, it is a nice reference to Sonia because a lot of the play is through kind of telling her story, and this is kind of Uncle Vanya as it relates to her. But I would say, as far as kind of the things that happen in the play, a lot of the main action and the climax would be between Sarah Bryakov and Vanya. Their personalities clash a lot. And so they're both kind of aiming for this title of the alpha male, the person that kind of runs the show. And neither one of them are allowing the other person to do that well.
And the play takes place in Russia?
It does.
Are we doing this with Russian dialects?
No.
Disappointingly, no.
You can do our interview in a Russian dialect.
I might. I might.
Disappointingly, you wanted to exercise your ability to do the dialect?
Well, my Russian accent is not good.
Mine sucks.
But I do it frequently. and so I was kind of hoping for that opportunity, but that's okay. It's probably for the best.
Well, you know, I appreciate it as someone that goes to see theater. I would rather people not use the accents if they're not consistently good across the board.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a decent choice. Who directed this piece?
This is Rod Meacham, the wonderful Rod. He is.
He's an actor's director.
He is.
It's great working.
Tell me why you say that.
Well, he's an actor. First of all,
okay.
But he's allowed us to really explore our characters in a way that we're not so hemmed in to some preconceived notion about the show or about our characters, and he's let us to explore and find our own truths.
Which is the definition of a good director. I mean, a good director is really an editor. Nobody wants to be told what to do. I did do a show years ago, off on a tangent. I did a show where on the first day, at the first reading, the director said, "Get out your scripts and a pencil," and he blocked every little thing before we ever said a word on stage, down to crook your little finger here on this word. It was an awful experience. So I I hear you, and that's good. So so this director, what's his name again?
Rod Meacham.
Rod Meacham. He's a guest director over at City Theater. Gives you the gives you the leash, for want of a better word, to explore your characters on your own.
He does, but he's also extremely perceptive into kind of what's going on in the actor's mind. And then he spends a lot of time one-on-one with people to kind of reconcile that if his vision's different. And he's very honest about that. You know, he was very honest with me in the beginning. This is the direction that I think. And I'm saying, well, this is the direction I think. And where are the clashes? And where is it not making sense? And where can we kind of come to this common ground where no person has to compromise either? So he's really great. He has this amazing vision, but he also gives a lot of leeway creatively, which is great. And he's hilarious.
He's funny.
A lot of times his only feedback is just don't suck.
Don't suck. But you know what? You just described what I love about the creative process. So when you come into a show, the director has a vision. Each actor has their own vision, as do the designers and everybody else. But what ends up on stage is somewhere in the middle, and something different than everybody thought, which is what's so great about the creative process and about live theater.
Exactly.
So you guys are already running, yes?
Yes.
Yes. Tomorrow we'll start our third weekend.
Third and final week?
Three
out of four. Yes. So we're halfway through. How's it going? How are the houses?
We were packed on Sunday.
Packed, I believe, is a good thing.
Yeah.
Packed has been, we've been packed. We've had different kind of personalities in the audience, I feel like, each time.
Isn't that wild?
It's been
so
really nice.
So tell me something. So let's just say I'm a standard Austinite. I'm sitting in my West Austin house. I just turned off the football game. I'm looking for something to do. It's Friday at 4:30 in the afternoon, because everybody knows football on Friday at noon is really big. I'm going to see Chekhov, and I'm immediately going to get afraid. I'm not going to really want to go see that because it seems just scary to me. Right. Why do I want to go see this show?
It's very relatable. That was Chekhov's purpose, is so that you can see yourself. It's a mirror to normal people.
Whether you're a 19th century Russian or a 21st century American.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think, and everybody's experience some sort of heartbreak that's at least similar to one of the characters in this show. So, you know, and heartbreak isn't narrowed to a certain century. It kind of, you know, unfortunately, it's going to stand the test of time. And so, you know, there's kind of a relatability there for each character.
Awesome. Well, that did it for me. I'm going to go. Do you know the closing date?
It's the 4th, February 4th.
And where can folks go to get more information?
They can go to the City Theater website, or they can email info@citytheater.com.
Right. So the City Theater website is citytheateraustin.org, and that would be where you would go to get more information. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the show. Hopefully you guys can stick around and join us backstage. It's really fun back there. So thanks, and best of luck with the... I'm trying to not say luck anymore. I'm trying to figure out a different word other than luck, but... Have a good rest of your run.
Yeah, that's great.
Thank you.
Thank you. So that was Matt Flynn and Julia Salas of City Theater's production of Uncle Vanya, playing now through February 4th at the City Theater. For more information, you may visit citytheater.org. And one of the things that describes, they use the word mirage to describe this show in some circles. So that's why I chose this song. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP, also streaming at koop.org. I'm Lisa Sheps. I'm sending my love out to Nick Mayo, who is in New York, and Nicole Shiro, who is lying in bed coughing her little guts out, and also coughing her guts out, Susie Sheeler. I wish you all the best. Well, I missed you today. It was not the same without you. So remember, folks, you can like us on Facebook.
The curtain has just come down on
on Twitter.
I'm All Alone the Musical.
You can always get our show as a podcast. You should be listening to the podcast.
Radio host.
At offstageonair.com. There's a little box up there.
You just put your email address. World of radio all by yourself.
Every Friday, every Thursday.
Or a lifeboat.
Mostly.
Life raft.
You will receive Offstage and On the Air in your mailbox. And you can listen to it. Of course, you can't subscribe.
But the show is over.
On iTunes.
We've left the theater.
So we will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. And going away today. I don't know.
Liquid?
Oh, because everybody's sick.
We're sitting here chatting.
That's why I'm doing
this. And we are lucky enough to have here with us.
Sick. Hold on.
And
I have to
get that microphone right up to you, if you wouldn't mind.
I have to stall because
we have Julia Salas.
Hello.
The CD player is not queued up.
I'm so glad that you
guys
are
here. And now it is. Here we go.
New to the
show, new to backstage.
Yes.
All right. So, well, let's start with you, Julia. Where are you from?
I am from Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay, I like to call that Cowtown.
It is Cowtown.
You grew up in Fort Worth. Did you do theater in Fort Worth?
I did theater in high school, and then I enrolled as a theater major at TCU.
So let me ask you this. Did you go to high school in Fort Worth?
I did.
So then the answer to the question, did you do theater in Fort Worth, would be yes.
Yes, but not. I didn't actually act at any of the professional theaters.
It doesn't matter. So we all had to start somewhere. Part of what we like to do back here backstage is figure out, you know, what brought you into theater. And so why theater? How did that start for you?
Well, actually, both of my parents were theater majors.
Oh.
So yeah, pretty interesting.
At TCU as well?
No. And they actually met 8 years apart. They're 8 years apart in age.
I was about to say, how did they meet 8 years apart?
They are 8 years apart in age. They met at an audition in San Antonio,
Where
they're both from.
Okay.
And my mom recognized my dad as the man that her older sister had a crush on in high school. And she said, "Hey, are you Philip?" And he said, "Yeah, who are you?" She said, "I'm Holly." That's how they met. They wound up moving to New York City, did a bunch of theater over there, and then came back to Texas, had kids, and did other normal quote-unquote jobs.
Awesome. So now have they taken you to New York to show you where they lived and stuff?
Yes. Well, kind of, sort of. Everything has apparently changed. They were there in the 80s, so pretty different. But, you know, I guess I would say I kind of had it started in an early age. My parents volunteered as volunteer directors in theater at a program kind of to help struggling women when I was younger. And so there was a theater program there, and in Fort Worth, back in Fort Worth. And I was cast as the little girl that did like shadow puppets and shadow dances. And I thought, okay, well, this is the best thing I've done so far in my life. I mean, I think I was like seven, so it's not like I had a really high standard at that point, but it kind of caught on.
Cool. And Matt, what about you? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Pittsburgh. I was raised in Pittsburgh. I grew up in L.A.,
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
And my my first role was as a rooster, a French rooster.
In high school, elementary school?
First grade.
Okay.
I went on to play Rumpelstiltskin at Palms Elementary School.
The highlight of your career.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
So as someone that grew up in L.A., you know, one would assume, did you do film acting as well?
I did some film, nothing to speak of, nothing of note.
Did you, after high school, did you stay in L.A.?
I did. We just moved out here about 10 years ago, my wife and family and I.
From L.A.?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And we were talking before we went on the air that you were talking about the theaters in L.A. I found it interesting that you think the theaters here are big compared to the ones in L.A. I've actually been to a decent amount of theater in L.A., into what we would consider off-Broadway kind of houses. And the ones I went to were pretty big.
I'm thinking of comparable theaters like the Odyssey or the Oxford or, you know, the Melrose. They're tiny stages.
Right,
they're
right.
Tiny little Equity Waiver stages.
Really?
Yeah. So I love this is tangential to the conversation, but I love it's a little different now, but when I was in New York, so you had Broadway, off-Broadway, and then off-off-Broadway. And off-off-Broadway was anything that wasn't off-Broadway. And they were 99 seats or less. And they were the equivalent to, in L.A., they called them Equity Waiver, was the off-off. It was the equivalent to off-off-Broadway. Hmm. I assume that's still the case in L.A. You have Equity Waiver, and then you have the next level up, and then...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So why did y'all move here to Austin?
Oh, they downsized my wife's... job in...
Those bastards.
I know, bastards. And then they had an opening here for an environmental scientist.
Uh-huh. Is she an environmental scientist?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And she's doing environmental science as we speak.
Cool. Yeah. So do either of you do musicals?
Yes.
Oi.
Okay, Matt says
in
yes, and you said oi.
In high school.
I did.
I sing karaoke in my car.
You sing karaoke in your car?
Yeah.
So you have like a CD of, or a MP3 or whatever of... No vocals?
No,
songs?
I just go on YouTube and plug my phone in and play it on YouTube. And
what song do you karaoke?
Oh my gosh.
Do you karaoke show tunes?
Sometimes. You know, the like Cabaret is always a good one. Cabaret is always a good one. Cats.
Oh, no, no. Get out of my studio right now.
Which I actually...
Memories.
I actually can't stand that musical, but some of the songs are fun to sing.
Okay. Oh, now I remember what it was that I was talking about on the... I'm sorry. Because Cats made me think of it. Phantom, tonight is its 30th anniversary at whatever theater it's at. I should know what theater it's at.
Oh, my God.
Tonight, 30 years on Broadway. That is amazing. So, Matt, you just jumped when I said musicals. So are you a triple threat?
I'd love to be able to dance again. I'm trying to get back there, but if you know what I mean. But yeah,
I don't know what you mean.
Sing,
but go ahead.
I'd love to sing, and I'd love to get into a musical. Absolutely.
Okay. What musicals have you done? What do you like to do? What kind do you like to do?
Guys and Dolls, Dames at Sea. You know, some of the Lerner and Lowe. Some of the.
I played a little Guys and Dolls today, by the way. Did you notice that?
Yes.
Wow.
Adelaide's Lament. Mm. As they say.
You promised me this. Yeah.
But a person can give you a cold. So what, we never really got, how did you find your way into theater did you start in elementary and high and junior high school and just loved it and stayed with it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Your family, are they performers?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. My brother was.
Because Julia's family were performers.
I know. That's a neat story, actually.
The parents, at least.
I don't have such a story.
So, anywhere else other than L.A.? Just L.A.?
Just L.A.
Okay.
Here in Austin.
Okay. And so when you moved here to Austin 10 years ago, did you just jump right into the theater scene here?
No, I was the stay-at-home dad taking care of my daughters. And so I did that until the youngest turned 13, and then I came back to audition.
Are your daughters in high school yet?
Yes.
Are they doing theater?
Yes, my daughter Bella is doing theater.
What high school does she go to?
They both go to the Petty School in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's quite a commute.
It is.
But his daughter just got into college.
My daughter just got into
Mazel Tov. Johns Hopkins, yay. I like Johns Hopkins because there's two of them.
Yes, there's Johns and Hopkins.
And Hopkins. That's awesome. So, Julia, any thought of moving to New York like your parents did?
You know, that was always the dream, I think, at a certain point. But then now I'm just kind of floating around, just being happy. Seeing where I go.
Seeing where you go?
You know, at the risk of sounding lazy, I'm kind of not trying to do too much and just be a little content. That's where I am right now. But.
Okay.
Who knows? Maybe someday.
You know, your parents and I were in New York at the same time.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You guys were probably friends.
We probably were. They may have seen me play the camel's ass on Broadway.
Hey, because
that was in the 80s.
Look at that. My sister just moved there actually a week ago.
Oh, to be a performer?
Advertising.
Advertising. Also very good. That's a killer profession.
Oh, gosh, I know.
So, Matt, if you were to do a musical, like if you were to just pick one, I were to say to you, Matt... Regardless of your character type, I will put you in the musical of your choice, of your choice.
Oh, cool.
What would you do?
Oklahoma.
Oklahoma? Yes. Playing?
Probably Oklahoma. Curly.
Curly.
As long as we're going against type, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, see.
So great.
That totally is against type for you in terms of what I see, but I'm sorry, Judd seems like a much more fun role to play.
I'd play Judd. Judd Fry.
Okay, so Curly it is. As a matter of fact, if you listen close enough right now, you can hear "Oh, What a Beautiful Morning" playing in the background. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
that's nice.
Wow.
Do you sing that nice?
Sure, better than that.
Do you recognize that voice? We were talking about him earlier.
Bing Crosby?
I would love to see Bing Crosby in Oklahoma. No, it's a Hugh Jackman.
Are you actually saying something's playing right now? I guess I just can't hear it.
You just don't have the magic.
I just don't have it's the magic. There. I can't hear anything.
Well, you guys, thanks so much for joining me backstage at Offstage.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. Take care and best of... I'm not saying good luck. I've got to find a different word. Okay, text me or tweet me or something me if you have a better... I don't want to say good luck to people anymore. It's not about luck.
Okay.
But
we appreciate it anyway.
See you next time backstage.
See you.
All right.
Bye.
Oh, what a beautiful...